T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
James, I equated Hulk Hogan to Michael Jordan, and the whole show has gone to hell since then. But it still beats talking about the Kings losing by 30-plus points to the Dallas Mavericks last night.
And before we talk about them, just because there's a bunch of NFL stuff, probably get to tomorrow. I don't want to get
into that. We might never get to it. It's been in the notes for 3 days.
But did you see that thing about how the 49ers got caught?
I did. Yeah, I need Stacey Kaufman to do that.
Hey, you giving the money back?
If I already got, I didn't even notice. No.
I wonder how long it took them to get back. Because the money spent, like there's nothing I can do about it. If we get paid on Friday and you found out on Tuesday, maybe I could give it back. But if it's months later and I didn't bought me a new this and that, sorry.
Yeah,
no,
if
I can't give it back to you.
If it's months later, I'm probably not thinking about it.
So the story, for those who didn't know, John Lynch says the Niners got in that salary cap trouble because they accidentally overpaid one of the players by $75,000. And they went to before they got caught or had to report it and all this other stuff, they went to the player and like, hey, we gave you an extra $75,000 on accident. We got to get that back. And the player was like, no. And they were like, hey.
That's what I do back. Too.
Hey. They could have appealed or done a bunch of stuff. He's like, just forget it. Just move forward. We'll take the penalty and do what we got to do. I was like,
yeah.
Damn.
By law, you have to give that back.
Shut up, James.
Yeah, I mean, it is up. What it is. Like a bank error in your favor, this is not Monopoly. You do have to actually give the money back.
Well, it wasn't necessarily a bank error, though.
It was your accounting
company.
Error.
Yeah, your company messed up.
I just thought y'all thought highly of me once. I don't know what to tell you.
I thought this was a Safeway check.
I thought that.
Rules finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's what it is.
I thought this was a bonus for me showing up at the sales meeting yesterday.
That's right. No bonus there. No.
Apparently, James gave a legendary sales meeting recently because
they love James.
Many people have brought attention that James was drawing boxes on the whiteboard in the room, and that was brought to my attention today because James and I have different approaches apparently during our sales meetings.
People say I did well in that meeting, but I don't know what that means.
When they agreed to it, they were probably like, oh, yeah, sure. We'll meet with D'Lo and KC. We saw how well it went with James and Kyle. So nice.
I wonder what D'Lo and KC will draw on the whiteboard.
It's so nice. It'll be the same thing.
You guys just walk in with a stack of phone books and set them down really heavily on the counter. All right, let's have a talk.
Yeah, it's about how it went, James. That's about how it went. All right, man. We've had our fun.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about it. Here's the thing, Hammer. Yesterday sucked, and it was bad on national television. It was a beatdown. It was just a tough game from Sacramento. But we all knew You got two games against Dallas. If you get both, man, that would be incredible. But really, you've got to find a way to, at worst, split these two games. As bad as last night was, Hammer, nothing's changed. Friday is still in front of you. You've got to play a whole lot better than you did yesterday. But the ability to split these two games with Dallas and win the season series is still right there in front of you.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, like, look, this team has put themselves in a position where every game is basically a playoff game at this point. If they want to get in, they've got to win. And, you know, there aren't any more excuses. There are no more, you know, reasons why you didn't hold up and you came out in the third quarter and just, you know, laid a complete egg. You just have to figure out ways to win. And, you know, if you want to be a team that makes the postseason, you can't just float around for a second half of a game and hope that you don't get clobbered, because NBA teams are tough, and you went up against two of the best shot makers in the world, and they burned you. One of them burned you in the first half. One of them burned you in the second half, and you got to be better next time out.
You got to be better, but
I'm sorry. I just saw this. Did you see that the Fox clip made awful announcing?
No, oh, but yeah. It was all over the place.
Yeah, James, when you put, I did not think anything of this. This clip really is everywhere. I didn't think
That's
anything
wild.
Of this clip when
I mean,
when
I didn't
said
either,
it
but
last
I did,
night.
It just kept popping up.
But they grabbed Matt's, you know, because he had the straight. They grabbed that video and well, okay, they wrote an article about it. You can go read that for yourself. I don't want to be, yeah. But yeah, I guess that was a big deal from De'Aaron last night. Did you think anything of it when he said that?
Well, I knew it was a potential viral clip, but no, I didn't think anything of it, because I know that that's how De'Aaron handles his business, and that's how De'Aaron thinks. Like, there's nothing new in there.
Mm-mm.
Like, I've known that for a long time. De'Aaron does not love speaking to the media until it's time for him to speak to the media for specific things, and then he's fine with it. But overall, like, he knows it's part of his job. He knows that when media relations comes in and asks him to go speak to the media, that it's time for that. He doesn't say no. He comes in, he does his job, and he understands that it's not a real fun thing for him. I think the only time he does have fun is when he comes out with Malik and they do like the tandem post games. And then it's kind of those two just kind of playing off each other and having a good time. But like, look, you get asked very similar questions, like in an 82 game season, 41 of them are at home. It's the same group of people sitting in the same exact room. The only difference is, for some reason, they move the chairs almost every single day. So we always have different formations with the chairs, which is weird. But outside of that, it's the same exact thing again and again and again, going on 7 years for him. And every once in a while, we have a really cool moment with De'Aaron or one of the other players where they reflect on something in an interesting way. That question, you know, again, Jason Anderson asked a question, which, you know, he asked it, so it's not like I'm telling secrets here. But I just think De'Aaron's answer was just, like, forthright. And, like, this is how he feels. Like, he would rather not be there. And to be honest, I don't blame him. You know, I would much rather we just have, like, right after the game, they bring one guy in, you know, 7 minutes after the game, and then another guy right afterwards. Then those guys get to go shower and leave and do whatever they're going to do the rest of the night. It is kind of a long, drawn-out approach now, and it takes a long time. And then, again, you're asked sort of the same questions night in and night out. That question was a little bit different, but it just seemed to strike a chord with him.
You're on Awful Announcing. The headline is, De'Aaron Fox denies doing post-game media is a form of leadership, saying, quote, I don't get S out of that.
But the great thing is there's
with
no
picture of him smiling next to him.
Because he was smiling when he said it. He's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I thought the clip was funny. I was like, that's De'Aaron. Like, I think for us here, it's like, that's just De'Aaron. Like you just said, De'Aaron is being real as he could be right now.
No, I totally agree. And to be honest with you, I understand the sentiment. Like, if I were him, I wouldn't want to go out and talk to the media. Unless you're a player who's going to be in the media when you're done playing and you need reps and you're actually working on something, like Vince Carter would like hold fireside chats at his locker every night. Hmm. And everyone just fawn over Vince Carter. Oh, he's amazing. And like, as a writer, it wasn't great. Like, for television, sure. For
yeah, there's a guy in San Francisco who does that.
Yeah.
He just says a bunch of words to get ready for his television appearance.
Exactly. Well, Vince would tell stories. And I mean, it was really fun to listen to. But if you're trying to make a quote out of it, it just was like totally unquotable. He had at least like 300 extra words in a sentence. And you're like, I don't know what to do with this. So I get that he doesn't love it. And he doesn't love the process. And I also get that he thinks it doesn't matter to his teammates or anything else. That's never been my point. My point is that you don't have to be accountable to the guys in the locker room when it comes to who goes to the podium. You have to be accountable as a leader for what happens in the game. So there is a different set of rules here that we're talking about. There is an accountability. Somebody has to come out and talk when you lose to a Dallas Mavericks team by whatever the final score was, 32 points or what, I don't know what it was, 36.
It was bad.
So somebody has to come out because that's part of the game. It's part of taking ownership of what happened. But as far as what goes on in the locker room and whether he likes it or not, hey, I totally get it, you know?
Yeah. I've said it before, and I'm going to continue to say it, and it's no knock on anybody. I just don't understand why all these professional athletes in all sports have such a problem with going to the podium. Like, it's like pulling teeth. And I understand same questions or whatever, but just give the same answers. Like, you're not up there that long. You can say the same canned response if you want to all the time, and then you move on. And I've never understood that aspect of why they get so annoyed with doing it. And it's clearly not just Fox. Like, you ask most of these athletes, and they're like, it's the worst part of the job. It's like, all right, I guess. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, when you're asking questions, like, as someone who has asked these questions a bajillion times at this point, you're trying to get like a player to open up and give you something, some good content, right? And De'Aaron inadvertently gave good content last night, but he's also had moments where he just opens up and he's phenomenal. And when that happens, it's like, it's really difficult because there are like two or three people in the room that I think see it happening and are like, oh my gosh, we're getting gold. And then we kind of start chasing it. But the problem is, in these settings, you have that. And then out of nowhere, someone will, you know, raise their hand and sort of ask like a ridiculous question that doesn't make, like, you know, about very too specific about a game, something happened in the game, or about the other opposing team, and whatever, it snaps a player out of whatever they were going through and how they were laying things out for you. And so I get it, like, but again, it is part of the job. It is.
James absolutely has someone in mind when he just gave that scenario.
No, I mean, there are people that do that all the time, that like, they're not reading the conversation, that they have in their head a question that they have to ask. They've got to know the answer. And what they're not understanding is a player is, or a coach is, starting to go down a pathway that is really cool and rich. You know, it's something that we can go mine that thing for a while. And then they just, like, they've got to ask their question for whatever reason that is, and snaps a player or a coach out of that conversation. And like, look, I think, sort of the interesting thing about like what we do here, right? When I'm on the Insiders, I talk a totally different way than I do with you guys. Like, we cover a lot of the same topics, but the format is different. You guys are throwing questions to me, where on the Insiders, me and Kyle are going back and forth. We're taking a million different topics. And I'm also very different when I talk on the Kingspeed podcast. I'm running the show. I'm leading, you know, questions to, so like if every time we got into one of these conversations and we started having like really cool, insightful stuff that's happening, whoever is talking, you want to let that breathe and you want to let it have space and time. And then you want to follow up. Like there's been times where like Kenny, we had a last week, we had something that we were talking about and you just kept coming back to me and asking more and more and more about it. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to get to in a press scrum most of the time. What we don't want is, you know, the one sentence answer from Domantas Sabonis, which, you know, and that's not because Domantas doesn't say anything. It's because he's in and out. He doesn't like have a bunch of extra words that he likes to throw. But I mean, that's our job is to try to chase a story and try to pull as much out of a player as we can. And it's not the easiest setting in a scrum. It's not like in this podium setting that we have now. It's not easy either. It's just different.
I don't know why I have in my head the clip that I think I saw for the first time. I had always heard about it, but I think I actually watched the clip for the first time like a week ago when somebody asked Kyrie about LeBron being a father figure to him. And Kyrie was the lady asked the question, and this is when they were in Cleveland. She asked the question, and Kyrie was like, I couldn't hear what you said. I'm hearing things. What'd you say? She's like, yeah, how about him being a father figure to you? It goes, I don't even, he was so perplexed. He's like, well, I have one father, and that's, he said the father's name. But yeah, LeBron he's really great at being a leader in the locker room, and he was so flustered by, and that's like what James talks about. Like maybe he's talking about like regular stuff, and somebody comes out of nowhere with this question. It's just like,
well, the reporter probably had the idea of writing a story about how Kyrie looks up to LeBron James. Mm-hmm. So they form that question that way in hopes of getting the answer they want for the story that they already had developing in their head.
Yeah.
As it turns out, the story doesn't exist.
No, and I think that happens all the time.
Right.
But I also, like, again, you do this long enough and there's moments where there's, like, synchronicity with the group, right, where it's all of a sudden – we see something that's happening and Sean will ask a follow-up and I'll follow up to his follow-up. And then Jason will ask a follow-up and we're all pulling on the same thread, like unwinding this thing like crazy. And that is when you get gold. And it just doesn't happen all that often, especially now. Like if you get an interview in a pregame setting with like, I had the one-on-one with Keon Ellis last week, right? It's just very much like there is no flow yet. There is no, we're not around these guys nearly as much as we were in the past. So there isn't like a level of comfort that he has with everybody. And a lot of times,
pregame's that's not probably when you get tough too, though, right?
It depends on the player. Like, and also depends on the line of questioning. So that's a place where, like, if I'm writing a story about, let's say, about Malik Monk, right? But I know that, you know, Mason Jones and him have a relationship because they're both from I think Mason played at Arkansas, but they also both played for the Lakers at the same time. And then I want to get a quote from De'Aaron Fox. That's a pregame is a really good time to go in and ask a very specific line of questions that are very short and with the understanding that you're plugging them into a specific piece. Right. So I can go to De'Aaron. Hey, I just want to ask you something really quick about Malik and then hit him with two questions. All right. Have a good game, whatever. Leave him. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the next person. Those are good places to formulate those questions. And post game, it used to be that while the scrum was in one area, if you were writing a story, you could sneak off and go get another player. But that's just not how it is anymore. There's one player in the locker room at a time for the most part. Like the post COVID era is very different for us.
So this is fun, talking about a viral social media clip, but what went wrong for De'Aaron in yesterday's game? Or, and this was my stance 3 hours ago when we were actually talking about the Kings Mavericks, I thought Dallas did a lot right that frustrated De'Aaron and perhaps frustrated Sacramento What were your thoughts on the way the game transpired? Probably more specifically the first half. I thought the first half was pretty rocky. Obviously, everything went terrible at the beginning of the third. But they, the Dallas Mavericks, had a game plan that seemed to really frustrate De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis as well.
Yeah, I mean, they sent Derek Jones Jr. at De'Aaron from the moment the ball was inbounds. So he was tracking him at all times, picking him up full court, which took the ball out of Fox's hands and sort of changed the trajectory of what he was trying to do. There wasn't a lot of downhill action for De'Aaron. And I thought it was brilliant. And then they just kept doing it. They used Dante Exum to do it. They whoever the player was, it's a defensive minded player on the court. They sent him at De'Aaron. And I think that, I mean, it worked for one night. That I don't believe will work again on Friday when they play again. I thought it was, again, it's sort of clever for like a little short stint to try to get the ball out of De'Aaron's hands. But the Kings' motion offense went to hell in a handbasket, and De'Aaron wasn't getting the ball in the right spots. Again, that will change. And not only that, but when De'Aaron found success early in the game, it was because he kept using that and getting switched onto Luka. And then Luka doesn't play any defense at all. He just tries to reach out and grab you the whole time. And so De'Aaron was abusing Luka on the high screen, and he just didn't hit his shots. And so, like, look, I think this was a bad game for De'Aaron, is a bad game for the Kings in general. Mm-hmm. But I think that they'll look at what happened in that game and they'll be able to make some pretty substantial changes into how they handle situations like that. And then if you look at the third quarter, you know, basketball players, like anyone else, whenever things go wrong, you regress to what you're best at or what you think you're best at. And De'Aaron and Malik, I think both of them really regressed to watching Kyrie and watching Luka and how they were dominating the ball, and they turned into that player as well. And so there wasn't a lot of movement. There wasn't a lot of screens. You know, they forgot about poor Keon Ellis, who has 7 points in like the first 3 minutes and doesn't get another shot attempt until late in the fourth quarter when he gets an and one. They forgot about Keegan Murray for stretches, and it just became very un-Kings-like basketball of way too many dribbles, way too much like me hero ball, and everything fell apart completely.
One of the things that I also think about with that game and that strategy is if they're going to defend De'Aaron like that with those type of players, like, okay, well, you're taking something off from the offensive end for Dallas. And you didn't. Exum and Derrick Jones were a combined 4 of 7 from beyond the arc last night. And that's just, like I said, if they're being effective on the defensive end, that's one thing. But you don't expect to get both, right? Like, all right, we'll take a little off of our offense right now to get better on defense. Well, not only did they not take a little bit off on their offense, they shot relatively well today or last night. So, James, I just thought it was one of those things. Like I said, we could talk about, you know, being ready and, you know, letting people – I don't think they necessarily let anybody do anything. Dallas shot the crap out of the ball last night. 22 threes, yeah. 56% from beyond the arc. Mama told me there's going to be days like this, and it was like that last night. You combine that with the fact that the Kings didn't really shoot the ball well, which – is a little bit on them, and a little bit you tip your hat to Dallas, then you get a 30-point loss.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, even the way the Kings decided to start the game with Domantas Sabonis defending P.J. Why am I drawing a blank? Yeah, P.J. Washington. Mm-hmm. Because then Dallas just kept getting him in the screen and roll. Mm-hmm. And so both, you know, they would sort of, Sabonis would go with Luka, and whoever's defending Luka would try to go with him as well because he's so crafty. And PJ Washington was wide open and hit three threes right away, like right in the first quarter. Boom, boom, boom. Then they made some adjustments, and next thing you know, it was no longer PJ setting that screen. They started using their big. So Daniel Gafford was coming up and setting the screen, or Derek Lively. And then they tried to do screen and rolls. And so the big man's roll into the basket. Well, that's what happened in the second quarter, and none of that worked. And the Kings stayed in the game because they kept getting steals on Luka, making bad passes, and they were again shocking Luka. They're running two guys at him, and then when he was trying to make the pass to the cutter, the Kings were just stepping in and taking the ball. So I think, first of all, Dallas learned from that, and when they came out in the second half, they stopped doing the screen and roll. They went specifically to all of those sets that you're talking about where they're getting the wide open looks. And I'd also point out to you, when you talk about Derek Jones Jr. and Exum, like, they have to play defense like at a crazy high level. But the way that that team is designed, if De'Aaron has to play defense like that on one end, and then on the other end, he's running around like a crazy person, that's not what they're doing with Exum and with Derek Jones Jr. Those dudes are going over and hanging out in the corner, catching their breath. And when the ball gets thrown to them at, you know, 3 seconds left in the shot clock, because Luka's dribbled all over God's creation with it and then finds them, it's not a huge expenditure of energy. They're really only expending the energy on one end of the court. So while they were effective and hit 4 of 7, number one, I don't think they'd hit 4 of 7 again, because that's not who they are as players. But also, those guys are just kind of well-rested. All they've got to do is play on one end of the court, because you have two, like, tremendously high-usage players in Kyrie and in Luka.
Mm-hmm. Hammer, I thought, you know, we talk about the Mavericks defense, what they did to Sacramento, Sacramento missing shots. I thought, particularly in the first half, the Sacramento Kings were really indecisive on the offensive end. Like, there were some plays around the rim. Of course, they just missed a couple that, you know, if they do again today, maybe those drop. But there were some points where they made the extra pass where they probably shouldn't have made the extra pass, and it either resulted in a bad shot or a turnover. And it felt like, and I don't know if this is a credit to Dallas or just their own thinking, but they looked really, really indecisive in that first half yesterday.
Yeah, I just think they had a lot running through their minds. That's what it kind of looked like. One team wasn't thinking and was just playing, and the other team was thinking about it. And
the Kings were upset they were on True TV. That's what was going on that first half. They're like, wait, we're on True TV? What the hell? And it was in their head.
Wondering why it was going to double overtime with the Lakers and Bucks.
Wondering why Doc Rivers blew another lead.
Yeah. Imagine that.
A 19-point lead. Hey, Anthony Davis did a hell of a job last night. But LeBron didn't play.
I love how Doc Rivers is the first person we go to there.
Oh yeah, that's a must. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he was 1 for 5 in the fourth quarter.
It's his fault. I said to Mike, he's in 3-1 mode right now. Sorry, James, go ahead. I didn't mean to make this Doc Rivers comedy hour.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings just made a lot of errors. And, you know, just a weird game. Plus, they also, like, each of these games is a reminder that you're on national television, that the breaks are longer.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to slow yourself down and kind of live in the moment a little bit more. And I think it also plays into it, too. We saw, you know, Malik try to go playoff Malik, and it wasn't a good form of playoff Malik. It was forced, and, you know, his three-point shot is not falling at all right now. And same with De'Aaron, you know, his three-point shot has been hit and miss. And we saw just way too much of that, almost like, hey, the bright lights are on, you know, more people are watching, and it just did not go the way that they thought it would go. That is a good first half, though. I mean, until Kyrie
I thought it was a terrible first half, but I thought they're still in it. Like, they're right there. So this is actually great. They didn't play well. They're right there in the game. This will be a strong third quarter. That didn't happen.
No, it did not.
That game ended quickly, man.
Yeah, it really felt like an anvil just fell from the sky and right on top of the Kings.
It's just a Kyrie avalanche.
Yeah, just one, like, mistake, one forced offensive play after another. And then on the other end, Kyrie, he wasn't even touching the net.
Mm-mm.
Like, it was like, what in the world? When that's what makes those two, that team so tough. When they start hitting, they're nearly impossible to stop. When you have Luka and you have Kyrie hitting, I don't know. I feel like
And that was the Cole piece. It wasn't even at the same time.
No.
It was like Luka's like, I got the first half, Kyrie, you take the second.
Kyrie went crazy.
I kind of feel, though, that the Golden 1 Center has become like the Coors Field equivalent for basketball teams. You know, like you go to Coors Field and everyone hits a home run because the air. It seems like whatever is with the sight lines in Sacramento, they are perfect for shooters, and shooters love it. And everyone hits everything at Golden 1 Center. And, you know, I don't really remember a whole lot of teams having bad shooting nights there, except for the Kings.
See? It's not
and that's because they play there more often than everyone else, but, yeah.
It's not the Kings' fault. It's the architect's
fault.
There
you go.
Tell Mike to chill out. It's not about defense. It's about the architects.
The lighting.
It's about that damn open thing that everyone tries to, it's the hanger that everybody tries to replicate. We'll come back. We'll talk much more about the Sacramento Kings with our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm here. Medulla and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino. Return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here. Well, I guess we should bring that conversation to the radio here, James. Whatever update we can have on, do we have any sort of update on Sasha? I think there was a belief his return was really, really close about a week ago, and it just seems game after game after game he's continuing to be ruled out. Do we have anything on Sasha at all?
Yeah, we don't. He hasn't even been in the locker room in pregame, so I'm used to at least like going over and talking to him in pregame. I've had plenty of conversations with him this entire season. The problem that he probably has is that the Kings like their players to go through a handful of practices to build up, and the Kings just haven't had practice. Again, we talked about this off the air, but the Kings had a back-to-back last week, and then a day off to travel, and then a game, and then a day off to travel again, and then the back-to-back again. So they've had 5 games in 7 nights. The Kings will not practice in that scenario at all. Mm-hmm. You're not going to practice when you have 3 games in 4 nights, and then you're practicing the next day, and you never practice after a back-to-back. So, like, today the Kings have off. They'll practice tomorrow for Friday's game, but like there's just not a lot of time to get somebody in game shape. And you know, again, he's a 28-year-old dude. You're not going to send him down to the G League to get him some run, although that might be the best scenario for him to get him some game action. Yeah. That the G League just isn't used that way. And I don't know, again, I think it's the flaw to the G League and a flaw to the thinking that's gone into it. But teams don't do that, like rehab assignments in baseball. I think it would be like in this situation, how else is he supposed to get, you know, out there and start running? Mm-hmm. And this late in the season too, teams just aren't doing a 5-on-5 go at each other practice, mm-hmm. where you're running up and down the court and you're trying to get somebody some court time. So a lot of times the younger players, they'll get together and they'll do like 3-on-3, or they'll do 5-on-5 with with some of the the training crew and the player development crew. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of that even this late in the season. But like, who are we talking about at this point? Because most of the younger guys are having to play right now because you've got Herter and Lyles and of course Sasha out. So there isn't even a lot of that going on because players, if they're going to play in a game, they usually don't have those like secondary games. Cause what you don't want to do is roll an ankle in a secondary game before on a game day, or on the day before a game when you might get to actually play.
So have you kind of changed your feelings maybe about seeing Sasha this year? I know when he first got hurt, it was like, we probably won't see him this year. Do you feel maybe a little different about it now, or is it just not the time not lining up to possibly see him this year?
I mean, what are we down to? 9 games? Yeah. 9 or 10?
10, I think 10 now. No, maybe
like he might play. Yeah, he might play, but 10. In my opinion, the reason he's going to play, if he plays right now, the reason is because Trey Lyles is out. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I was off base with my thought on that. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been gone for so long, and he wasn't a huge part of the rotation when he went out. So what exactly are you expecting from him? You know, I don't know. So I think that also tells you something. Like, there is an opportunity here. If Sasha could play, you would expect that he would, mm-hmm. because the Kings need him,
yeah.
because they don't have Trey. And so you would expect that if he could go, that he would, you know, go out there. But I think the Kings maybe are being a little bit cautious. But also, again, we don't have a medical update. We don't have a medical update on him. We haven't got one yet on Trey Lyles. We're at the 2-week mark on Trey Lyles.
And that was their reevaluation point, right? That was the original update.
The reevaluation, yeah, of the spring. But again, we didn't get a reevaluation point on Sasha either. We just heard he was at practice one day.
He was at practice.
Well, and then we also don't know what's going on with Kevin Herter.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't even acknowledged the two guard who they're just kind of like, well, we'll figure it out later.
Well, I guess it's possible that, you know, that he's not going to do surgery. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had a surgery, they would have told us, I believe they would have said it was successful. Like everyone else says with these things, but at the same time, like we have no idea. He's wandering around on the sidelines without a sling or anything on. And so it kind of makes you believe that they're probably going to see, you know, once it heals up and it gets to where it's not super painful, mm-hmm. they'll probably reassess him at that point and say, okay, are we going to go in for surgery or not? We had Dr. P on last week to talk about the types of surgery there. And, you know, like it's not like a baseball player, which is called, I think, a slap tear, which is in the upper part of the rotator cuff or the labrum. Sorry, the upper part of the labrum, and that's from an overuse situation where, again, the bicep tendon goes into the shoulder, and you know, throwing repeatedly, baseball after baseball, you end up, you know, damaging, and you can have the labrum tear away from the socket. And then you have to go in and like stitch up that tear. The type of labral tear that Kevin has is from like a singular event, like a violent act that happened to his shoulder, where it pulled his shoulder pops out of the socket and it pulled the labrum with it and tore the bottom of the labrum. So on the bottom side, not on the top side. And so those things, they don't typically heal up all the way, but it can like do a little bit of scar tissue. The question is what grade of tear he had. And then on top of that, it's whether his shoulder is unstable, like where it might pop out again. And so that's the problem with the type of tear that Kevin has. He has, the risk is that it will continuously pop out, or a baseball pitcher, when they go in and they clean it up, it's because it's a pain tolerance issue. So just two different types of problems. And you don't want to have repeated dislocations of the shoulder, because then you can do more and more damage to the labrum.
Is there anything you enjoy more than graphically describing injuries and their,
nope.
their
I love it.
Oh, there's a lot going
Dr. James Hamm here with us on D'Lo and KC. Well, good news, Kings fans. We're all really big Nuggets fans tonight. Let's root on Michael Malone. Our old buddy. Michael Malone.
He'll
some of us
roll the game.
Not all of us. Some of us might want to root for the Thunder too, just for fun.
Yeah.
Or root for the Rockets. I mean, because it's the Rockets and the Thunder.
Yeah.
Root against the Thunder.
I mean, go Paolo. Go Paolo.
Keep
pushing them down.
Well, all right.
Maybe out. Go Gigi, by the way.
Go Gigi. As Memphis has got the Lakers.
Sneakily, they're like two back. I mean, there's a lot of tiebreakers and stuff like that, but aren't they like two back in the standings, three in the loss column or something like that?
Sacramento. Yeah, they won last night. Yeah, they came back and won that game last night after stealing the first half from Sacramento on national television. By the way, Suns and Nuggets on ESPN 1320 tonight.
That reminds me. I remember Game 5, 2004, Kings-Timberwolves. The whole first half, it was supposed to be on TNT, obviously, a doubleheader. The whole first half was on NBA TV because Pistons-Nets went like three overtimes. Mm. Chauncey hit a half quarter to tie it and stuff like that. Miss Stamner, the whole, well, I was able to click over to NBA TV, but this is 2004, remind you. This isn't. It's a different time.
Mm.
It's all damn near the whole first half. Flashbacks.
It looked like that game was going to a third overtime last night. We were watching it on a computer like this. It was 117 to 117 for at least an hour. That was rough.
And Doc couldn't figure out how to get a stop.
It was Doc Rivers' fault. It was Doc Rivers' fault.
I mean, I wish I did the whole story.
Dame Lillard put him up late ahead, but Doc messed it up.
I mean, look at the roster. I got Pat Beverly. I mean, what you gonna? I don't know.
Yeah, Doc, we brought Pat Beverly here for you, buddy.
Ridiculous.
Most important one is Michael Malone, Nikola Jokic, and the stand-up Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr.
Well,
he's the stand-up brother.
Is he?
Well, maybe not in all cases, but we're rooting for him tonight. Let's go, buddy. Denver
gonna prop
get the
him
win.
Up.
Yeah. Well, James.
Yeah.
James. Come on, James.
Oh, man.
Hope he can parlay this into a second championship.
James.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Is he going to double down on this?
James. Goodness gracious.
Hey, it's all part of the show.
You're supposed to be the grown-up in the room, James. Come on, man.
Come on. Come on.
Got to split. Got to get this one. We went over it. We were looking at the schedule during the commercial break. The Mavericks ahead for Sacramento. Obviously, the second game against the Mavericks on Friday. They got the Jazz, the Clippers, the Knicks and Celtics, which is a back-to-back. And then they go from Massachusetts back to New York to take on the Brooklyn Nets. And then they close out with the Thunder. I think that's a road game. Then the Pelicans, Suns, and Blazers. These are all massively important games. And I was feeling pretty tough about that, and then James reminded me, hey, just go take a peek at Phoenix's schedule. And, man, it starts tonight. They're on the road against the Nuggets tonight. Then they got the Thunder on the road, the Pelicans on the road, the Cavs. And the good thing about these games is they've got two against the Pelicans. They got two against the Clippers. If the Kings can win some games here, like those help Sacramento no matter what.
Yeah,
no matter what, those help Sacramento, given that the Clippers and Pelicans have fallen back a little bit into the conversation. So it could be a situation where, as weird as this might sound, if the Suns beat the Pelicans the first game, just root for them to beat them again. Mm. Like, whoever wins, just don't root for splits in these games.
Yeah.
Root for whatever team wins the first game to go 2-0.
That's it. That's it. That's what we've been hoping for here. Now we need a split.
Yeah, now we need a split.
Yeah, we were talking. I think Kenny wasn't part of this. It's crazy if you look at Tankathon and the most difficult games left on your strength to schedule. The Suns have 9 games that are on the most difficult games, and then the 10th game is against the Kings. Like the Kings game doesn't even reach the point of what the rest of their schedule is. I mean, it's 647 win percentage. I didn't even know there were enough teams in the league with a 647 win percentage to have you have that as your final like strength to schedule against.
They're playing with the exception of because of what happened. If the Kings had won last night, every team remaining on their schedule would be a top six team. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be a solidified playoff team.
If they get in, they're gonna earn it.
Oh, they're absolutely gonna earn it. But let's hope that doesn't happen.
Let's hope it doesn't.
Unless they win two against the Pelicans and two against the Clippers, knock them both out, and the Suns and the Kings make it, then that's fine.
Yeah,
that's perfectly fine. Any concern about Malik? You were talking about this a little bit earlier. We saw obviously an aggressive Malik. He got a little. There were a couple of moments in the first half where, you know, the bad pass that kind of led to a blocking foul, you know, on the next play. He's had a string of a couple of games where the shot really hasn't gone his way. That just Malik? That's just the game? Or you a little worried as we head down here to these final 10?
No, I'm not worried. Malik has had a couple of stretches like this through this season. But we talked about this last year. Like his stretch that was bad last year was like 6 weeks. This year it's been like three games. And even one of those times that he had one of these little swoons like this, he came out and apologized.
Mm.
You know, and just like this time, he said, you know, I couldn't throw a rock in the ocean or whatever it was that he said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that first of all, just the way he's played, how much responsibility is on him, the fact that he is playing way more minutes than he did last year, even in the second half of the season, he's playing way more minutes than he did last year. I think this is just part of his maturation, just like it is part of Fox's maturation, to learn how to play at this level continuously for 82 games. And, you know, people want to call it an excuse, but five games and seven nights in what, like four different cities, that's ridiculous. It's not easy at all. These guys are beat up. We're getting even Domantas Sabonis. You can look at his numbers over the last couple of games. They're down. And if that guy's numbers are going to be down, that should tell you how much this stretch can wear on somebody. So I think Malik will be fine. These 2 days off right here, I think are going to do wonders for the Kings. I think that they will come out with a bounce in their step on Friday. I hope that they come out with a bounce in their step. But we've seen this team also come out after getting thumped by a team and get thumped by the same team again, like what happened earlier in the season against Houston, what happened earlier in the season against New Orleans. And you hope that there's some carryover from the earlier games against Dallas where they were just a much better team than Dallas, even with Kyrie and with Luka. And that for some reason, it's not that Dallas just got way better and the Kings are regressing. So I expect a better effort, and I do think that Malik will have a bounce back, you know, final 10 games here.
I'm looking at this schedule, and I'm trying to pull up. Have the Kings this year, have they, like, dominated any back-to-back, like, the little two-game series or won any of the two? I don't think they have. I think they've lost Houston and they lost New Orleans. Those
I don't think there's
ones.
Been as many as there were in recent years.
They've only had two, and they haven't gone well. Although in the wasn't the case in the Houston two-game series, but in the New Orleans two-game series, they got destroyed the first game and lost a close game the second time.
Okay, buddy, you're not helping.
Well, no, they're gonna play well on Friday. I know that. Now, this is also
you literally just said they played well and lost.
Well, that's what happened. But this is eerily similar to the two game series the Kings had last year against Dallas. Dallas
mm-hmm.
came
yeah.
in.
Yep.
It was right after the trade deadline. Matter of fact, and somebody on the stream looked at me and said, "They didn't need Mason Plumlee, huh?" And they got worked, and then they came back that next Saturday and handled business.
Who said that?
I don't know.
That was like a Friday Saturday, right?
Was it a Thursday Saturday?
It wasn't a true back to back, but it was like a Thursday Saturday, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. Are you sure?
I think it was.
Maybe
a
so. It might have been a Friday. Well,
I could probably look. Sure.
It might have been. I thought there was somewhere. A day between.
Well, you check that too. I just want to point out that people. Again, the craziness of the last week and a half, right? So on
true back
March
to back.
18th.
February 10th, February 11th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Friday and Saturday.
So the Kings last Monday. So we're talking about an 8-day stretch, Monday to Tuesday, right? So over the last 8 days leading into like yesterday, right? Mm. They played Memphis at home in Sacramento. They flew to Toronto the next day and then played the Raptors, then flew to Washington and played the Wizards the next night. Then they had 1 day to fly to Orlando and they played the Magic. Then they flew home and then they played Philadelphia and Dallas on back-to-back. So in 8 days, they played 6 games, one in Sacramento, one in Toronto, one in Washington, D.C., one in Orlando, and then 2 more in Sacramento. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. So if when you look at the totality of it and what they should look like on the court, man, maybe they should have a bad third quarter against a team like Dallas. I mean, it's an NBA scheduling anomaly that was commonplace 5 years ago or 7 years ago, but you don't see this at all anymore where you have 5 games in 7 nights or 6 games in 8 nights, stuff like that. It just doesn't happen.
All right.
Let's get this W on Friday.
Yeah, there's, I do think there's a few, I know they need to hit shots. I do think there's a few adjustments they need to make. And
oh, yeah.
Some of it is like freeing De'Aaron up a little bit. Also, we didn't really talk, like, they made life tough on Domas. Domas had a very oddly inefficient night on the offensive end. And then, you know, I know, you know, guys not hitting shots, all of this stuff comes into a play, man. When they say the ball have energy, boy, they mean that when it comes to Sacramento, because rarely does one guy shoot bad. Right. It's like they all – I mean, I know Malik had that night a few nights ago, but, like, man, it feels like when it's bad, it is bad, bad. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened yesterday. It was bad, bad. And Luka was good, good.
Michael Jackson bad.
And then Kyrie took over.
And they hit all of their shots around the perimeter. What was that other game this year where they had that where, when they were playing Phoenix and you had Okogie and you had Nasir Little, anyone who could have possibly made a three that was like jarring made every three they took. And you're like, it'd be like that sometimes.
Buddy Ham Buddy here. Hill. Yeah. Buddy.
Buddy Ham.
You see our man Ben Ross tagged us in the on this date. Buddy going off for Oklahoma.
Buddy was cooking that day.
He sure was. I love that Buddy Hield is part of the permanent fabric of this show. I get a kick out of that.
Oh, he gave it to Jason Anderson the other day. Gave it to Jason Anderson. Messing with Jason. It was good stuff.
All right. Well, I guess we'll end there. We'll end there.
He said it twice.
We'll see. Yeah, the game ends on a penalty, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at 10 a.m. Remember, we got NBA basketball coming. We got NBA basketball coming your way at 6:30. The Suns at the Nuggets. We'll see you tomorrow with the insiders here at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Nuggets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.